This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, an amazing Monday, Inauguration Day, sanity has returned. What a day of hope. Put a smile on your face. And obviously, we're going to do a bunch of inauguration talk tonight. Not necessarily, you know, geeking out on. Did you hear what he said here? We'll do some of that. But we'll talk about where we've been, where we're going as a country. That's going to be a huge theme out there. How do we handle the other side from here? We'll talk about the looting of the Treasury, preemptive pardons from Biden, native-born Americans run out of the job market, why, emails, all that and so much more. Plus, oh, I shouldn't forget, Medal of Honor Monday still coming an hour from now. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I want to begin here. A talk that we have had before on this show, but not often. Maybe once or twice. I want you to allow yourself to feel good today. If you are a person on the right, you are a person who values freedom. You know, that's not just a word, oh, freedom this, freedom that. No, we know what that word means. If you are somebody who values freedom from government force and government coercion, if you are somebody who values right from wrong, some sense of a moral compass, a border, some sort of a border policy, if you are somebody who values these things, you don't get very many days where you feel like a winner. Because these things, the things that are good, and don't think this is unique to you or me, the things that are good are always under attack, always, and have always been. Evil will always attack good. That is the nature of this fallen world we live in. The devil prowls to and fro, looking for good things to destroy. If you are somebody who wants good things, who loves good things for your country, you don't have that many days, that many news cycles where you wake up, you roll over, you look at your phone, and you say to yourself, dang, that's pretty freaking cool. Every day, if you're somebody who values greatness, almost every single day, you wake up, kiss the wife, kiss your husband, make breakfast for the kids, sit down with a cup of coffee and turn on a TV or pull up your phone, and you're mortified for the rest of the day. They're doing what? They can't do this. How could they? That's evil. That's most of our life if you value what is good. And today, sanity, some semblance of sanity, has returned to the country you love, to the country I love, and I feel freaking great. The mood nationally is great. It feels like, oh, finally. That disaster is over, and you should be happy right now. I hope you, whatever you do, when you celebrate, I hope you're doing it right now. Maybe you go shoot hoops with your buddies. Maybe you have a glass of wine with your wife. Maybe you get with your small group in church. Maybe you play golf. Maybe you go for a walk by yourself. Maybe you play with the dog. However you celebrate when things are good, I hope you're doing it as you listen to the sultry sounds of my voice right now. What, Chris? Because it is a good day. In the Kelly household, when you include extended family, cousins, aunts, uncles, all these things, the feelings on Trump personally run the gamut. A lot of super Trump fans, some Trump skeptics like him sometimes they don't. Some, I don't even know if I'd call them Trump haters, but maybe I'll just use that term anyway, where they voted for him, but don't care for him at all and question his policies. You should have heard the Kelly household today during that wonderful speech Trump gave, and it was a wonderful speech. Every one of them, from the haters to the skeptics to the super fans. I woke up in the house this morning at, what, 6:30 a.m., and this is what I heard in the kitchen. Already people were so excited about the day. That's the day we had today, and it was good. And let's remember what could have been. Make us all, at least make me, feel better about where we are. Remember this?
But I felt then and believe even more so now that my life was saved for a reason. I was saved by God to make America great again.
My life was saved. Saved from what? 2 inches. An assassin reconned properly, did a very good job, to his credit, properly reconned a campaign event Donald Trump was going to be speaking at. Donald Trump had just received immunity from the Supreme Court because the communist savages, which we will get to, I'm going to get to a lot of them tonight, the communist savages were trying to throw him in prison. Supreme Court ruled he was immune. And so an assassin, we don't know who he was working with, possibly people inside the government. That's something we all have to accept as a possibility right now. But an assassin appropriately reconned an area, identified the event, identified his shooting location. He managed to get his weapon, which was in good working order, and himself onto that location on the day Donald Trump was speaking, and in open air, broad daylight, lined up his scope perfectly on Donald Trump's head and took the shot. Donald Trump happens to, by the grace of God and God alone, turn his head at that moment to look at an immigration board. It was a board about immigration that had been given to him by Senator Ron Johnson, great senator from the state of Wisconsin. At that exact moment, Donald Trump turns his head and the bullet nicks him in the ear instead of blowing his brains out the back of his skull. Where are we if that bullet hits? Today, January 20th, 2025. What are we talking about today? I don't know. You don't know. That was before Trump was the nominee officially, because that only happens at the convention. What happens from there? Which way do you even go? Think for a moment. Think about the inter-Republican Party squabbling that would have came. There was no nominee. In fact, everyone had dropped out. DeSantis, all these guys had dropped out. How do you even choose your nominee? What, we have to go do it at the convention? So now you have a bunch of people shouting. Does the Republican Party tear itself apart for the nomination after that happens? Have you asked yourself that? What happens to the Democrat Party? Joe Biden doesn't have that disastrous debate with Donald Trump because Donald Trump's dead. So Joe Biden possibly doesn't debate at all. Well, it wouldn't be right. Joe Biden, maybe he has a better night against whoever he was going to face, whoever the nominee was going to be. He doesn't have a disastrous debate night. He goes back to hiding in the basement. What if there was mass violence across the country? That is very, very, very common historically when the leader of one side within a country is assassinated by the other side. Violence oftentimes will manifest itself. Anger, accusations, pointing fingers. Today, it is not at all outside of the realm of possibility that save for 2 inches, we are watching Joe Biden get inaugurated for another 4 years of communist rule in this country. 2 inches. One turned head at the exact right moment away. We are that away from another 4 years of unspeakable evil. And what Democrats did during this last 4 years were unspeakably evil. I'm going to play some clips here, just a few of them from the inauguration, give my thoughts on those. And then we are going to today, we are going to look back on the last 4 years, and we are going to remember, and this is important. This is not just so you can dump on your liberal Aunt Peggy today, although that's a nice side benefit. It is so, so critical that you and I don't move on, don't let it go, don't just breathe a sigh of relief and call it good. Let bygones be bygones. No, sir. No, ma'am. Nope. That cannot happen this time, or we are finished. I will explain my reasons for that. We'll play some more Trump clips. It is a good day. Did we all dodged a bullet. All of us. Maybe with so much chalk. Maybe there's so much chalk that we can dodge bullets now. Maybe our T levels are so high, maybe we're bulletproof. Probably not. But look, when you get an increase of 20% in your T levels in just 90 days, I'll tell you, you'll feel like Superman. You will. Your energy alone. Right now it's nighttime on a Monday night. All this stuff going on. I've been up since 6 a.m. My leg, you can't see it on camera, is bouncing underneath the table. I'm just so full of energy all the time now. What if natural herbal supplements can do that for you? They can. But they can't do it unless you get a hold of chalk. They have female vitality stacks that'll have you ladies feeling like this. Male vitality stacks for the fellas. Start off every day with some chalk lit powder in your smoothie. Massive discounts on subscriptions for the lifetime of the subscription at choq.com. Promo code Jesse. Go get bulletproof. Kind of. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, an incredible Monday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. It is Inauguration Day. Life is good. I'm feeling good. Even CNN is having to admit, this is from Woke Spy, that Trump is at the, quote, peak of his power. Now, let's talk about that for a moment before we get back to some Trump inauguration clips. The peak of his power. One, that's very, very normal for a president when first elected president to be at the peak of their power. Let's talk about this because Trump's actually a little different in this regard. When you are first elected president for the first time, it's well known in political systems, so political circles, you know this, that you have what's called political capital, if you will. You have leeway to do some things, that are on your heart, on your mind, and you can use those things for good and you can use those things for evil, but you have political capital and you have a limited amount of political capital. One of the greatest examples of this is Barack Obama's first term. I'm not even going to call out Obama or Obamacare or whatever, but he got elected for the very first time. And as the first time elected president, the whole country, well, the country, the majority just voted for you. You are the most powerful person within your party, and you have political capital to demand some things and to take some chances. And Barack Obama chose to use that to destroy the healthcare system of the United States of America because he's an evil communist himself, and that was Obamacare. And Obamacare, remember this, when they were whipping up the votes for it, they knew, because they were poll testing everything, they knew it would cost Democrats seats, lots and lots of seats. They knew it. But he had so much political capital as the newly elected president that he pushed forward anyway. Look, screw it. I don't care if some Democrats lose their seats. I'm in it to wreck the country. He did. And that's why your health insurance costs 10 times as much now as it used to cost. He got it through and Democrats got wiped out in the midterms. And boom, from that point forward, Barack Obama for his last 6 years was completely out of political capital. He never did anything else significant again for the rest of his presidency. It was a limited amount. George Bush, at the beginning of his presidency, had large quantities of political capital. But what makes this Trump presidency different is for a variety of reasons, the lag in between his two terms, the four-year lag in between his two terms. First time he got elected, he had all kinds of political capital, obviously. He used a lot of that for good, mainly immigration, foreign policy, and trade stuff. That's where Donald Trump really, really excels. He really did some great things. Oh, in energy policy, he really, really did some great things when it comes to that. Eventually, the bloom fell off the rose. He ran out of political capital, and Republicans were much more willing to oppose him and speak against him publicly. That's how you know the political capital is gone. And you're not supposed to have heaping helpings of political capital for your next 4 years when you get reelected. George Bush didn't, Obama didn't. But you see what happened. The reason Trump has way more now than he ever had before, way more now. That election was mandate levels of domination. Part of the reason, half the reason, is Trump's messaging of we can be great. We don't have to be down. People are feeling down. You probably feel it. They feel stress. They feel angst financially. Maybe you're feeling this. They feel like they're pushed to the max. And when someone stands up in front of you and says, I'm in charge now, you don't have to feel like that anymore. I'm going to fix it. That alone is going to inspire people to support you more and give you more political capital. The other half of that political capital Trump has, the reason he's at the peak of his power, the other half of it is how demonic and evil Democrats have become and how they conducted themselves like animals for the last 4 years. I saw a poll today or yesterday, and I already felt like this was in the air, but I'd not actually seen a number for it. You know what the approval rating is nationally for the Democrat Party? 33%. That number, in case you're wondering, is the lowest in the history of that kind of polling. They started polling in 1992, they started polling the national popularity of both parties. They have never seen 33% until right now. Now, we are about to discuss, in conjunction with Trump's inauguration speech, why that is. How did Democrats go from, let's be generous, in 2020, and let's say half the country voted for Joe Biden. Now, you know what happened in 2020. I know what happened in 2020. But setting all the ballot boxes aside and things like that and dead people voting, setting that aside, 2020 was not, it was not a blowout like 2024 was. It was neck and neck, probably. We're never going to know for sure because you're never going to get to the bottom of all the ugly things that went on. But how did you go from, hey, we were neck and neck in 2020 to 2024. You got your doors blown off in the election, and two-thirds of the country hate your freaking guts. Why did that happen? How did that happen? We'll talk about that next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, a half hour away from Medal of Honor Monday, which is always a good time. And we are here celebrating Inauguration Day. The national nightmare is over.
But I felt then and believe even more so now that my life was saved for a reason. I was saved by God to make America great again.
Why is Trump more popular now than he's ever been? Why did Democrats go from a neck and neck race in 2020, which they stole, to getting blown out in 2024? Why is the National Party at 33% approval? Why is Donald Trump at the peak of his political power? Why are these things? On a macro level, I'll explain it this way, and then we'll get down to some of the nitty-gritty of it. You and I know that political parties, we'll focus on the Democrats now because that's what we're going to talk about for the time being, but the political parties, they're made up of a bunch of different factions. They really are. There are different factions that make up one political party in America. And a lot of that is because of our two-party system here, which is not really normal globally. Countries around the globe, most of them, I would argue, they have many political parties. And what you're trying to do, if you're trying to win an election, you're trying to form a coalition. Hey, I support enough of you and enough of that. And that. But we don't have that here. Here we have a two-party system. And don't email me. We got the Green Party. No one cares about your Green Party, you hippie loser. Don't email that crap to me. We have two political parties, two major ones, Democrat and Republican in the country. Because of that, there are many different factions inside each party. But let's talk about high-level politics, because this is going to come back to why Trump is so popular, why Trump is able to get up there and speak so clearly about things like, we'll just say it, illegal immigration.
First, I will declare a national emergency at our southern border. All illegal entry will immediately be halted, and we will begin the process of returning millions and millions of criminal aliens back to the places from which they came.
Why are Democrats so unpopular? Well, inside the Biden administration, here's what happened. 2020, that election was approaching. Democrats, they weren't in love with their chances given the Democrat field they had. Now, they knew that they had convinced Donald Trump to shut down his own economy, which he did. So that helped them destroy the thing that was going to get him reelected. He was going to sail to reelection with the economy, but he shut down his country and they helped him, pushed him, and they shut it down longer and harder. But then they were looking at their field and they saw they had Bernie Sanders leading the way. That Elizabeth Warren, Dome, these people are not going to get the job done. They're not going to be able to beat Donald Trump nationally. So what do we do? Well, hey, let's go grab a guy who can win middle America. Remember, you win the presidency in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, not Texas, California, or New York. Joe Biden, Scranton Joe. So they go grab Joe Biden and they pull him out of retirement. But they have an issue, and this issue was apparent very early on to you because you're the hyper-informed. The normies just found out yesterday, but you've known this for quite some time. You weren't getting the same Joe Biden you had before. Joe Biden was always mean. He was always that. He was always been a jerk his entire political career, and Joe Biden has always had verbal gaffes. But Joe Biden's verbal gaffes historically were always him saying something kind of offensive because he doesn't have a great filter. His verbal gaffes went from, well, you can't go into a 7-Eleven because it's a bunch of Indians in there. I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty much what he said. It went from that to he can't complete sentences anymore. So, if you're Democrats, what do you have going on here? What are you worried about? Well, doesn't matter. We just got to win the election. It doesn't matter that he can't function. Doesn't matter that he can't perform his duties as commander in chief. Stopping Donald Trump is all that matters. Let's make sure we stop Donald Trump. And they did. With the ballot boxes and everything else, they stopped Donald Trump and Joe Biden won. Except Joe Biden is still not functional. Now, that's going to bring me to part of why the appetite for Trump is so strong now. Why did Democrats get unpopular, so unpopular over the last 4 years as president, as a Democrat president? And the same thing would apply to a Republican president, but we'll make it about Joe because that's what we're talking about. As a Democrat president, you know you have factions all over your party, many, many, many different parts of your party. You do. You have older, more probably middle-of-the-road Democrats. There are a lot of those. Maybe blue-collar Democrat types. You know there are a lot of those. Your auto workers, your teams, your union types, guys. You're going to have a lot of those. You know, and on the worst levels, you're going to have Antifa. You're going to have flat-out murdering street communists out there. You're going to have Black Lives Matter. You're going to have, you know, all the savages on the street. Those are part of the Democrat coalition. You're going to have the greenies. You're going to have the feminists. You're going to have different parts of your coalition. But the point is, as a Democrat president, you have to strike a balancing act. A balancing act, meaning you have to balance what is possible, while serving the needs and wants of your base, while also, and this is the most important part for our discussion here, while also keeping the most insane elements of your party out on the fringes, away, keep them out. Now, that's not because you care about the country. If you're Joe Biden, Democrat president, you don't give a crap about America. America's never occurred to you before. You're a friggin' Democrat. You don't care about that at all. But you know if you allow the most nutty, evil parts of your party to take control of things, it will make you look bad. It will make your party look bad. For the good of the party, you can't allow the crazies to take over. And as president of the United States of America, it's part of your job to be dad. Oh, you want to do this executive order? Wait, what? No, get out of here with that crazy crap. That makes us look evil. Oh, you want to do this? No, we're not doing that. Whoever suggested that, fire them. We're not doing that. You have to be dad. I had a conversation with Sean Spicer. You know Sean Spicer. He's been on the show before. Everyone knows Sean Spicer. He was Trump's press secretary for a while. And I asked him, I asked Sean Spicer, did Donald Trump ever yell at you? And he started laughing on camera. And he said, you have no earthly idea. And he said, now I want to make sure I give Trump credit for this. He wasn't complaining. He said, Donald Trump was the first one to pat you on the back and hug you when you do well. But I got ahead of my skis one time and I said some things that were not approved, that were not right. And he said, I don't think I've ever been screamed at and cussed at like that in my entire life. Now, you can think Trump's a big meanie for that or what, but for the purposes of our conversation, you see what I mean about dad? That's dad's job. When Corinne Diversity Hire comes back in from the podium because she said something batty and nutty up there, if you're the Democrat president, you have to yank her aside and say, don't you ever lose your freaking mind like that again, or you can pack your bags and I'll make sure you never work in D.C. again. You work for me. You just made me look bad. Run your freaking mouth like that again and watch what happens. You have to do that. But that didn't happen. So what happened next? Well, let's focus on the border, shall we? And other things before we get to that. Speaking of history, as we walk down memory lane, what if you could get, I mean, you know what Hillsdale College is. Everybody does. It's the university you can send your daughter to and she won't come back a transsexual. But it's also the elite university. Classical education. Would you like some Hillsdale College education? Yeah, Jesse, but I can't afford it. Oh, congratulations. They're offering over 40 free online courses. No cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse gets you access to free Hillsdale education. Constitution? Yep, that's part of it. What about the rise and fall of the Roman Empire? Free. The works of C.S. Lewis. You can't imagine how many sick college courses there are in there. And no matter where you are, the kid, adult, old, no cost education from Hillsdale? Man alive. People would kill for that. You don't have to kill for it. You have to go to hillsdale.edu/Jesse without any death involved. Go. Get smart. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, only 10 minutes away from Medal of Honor Monday. So thrilled we have some freaking sanity back in there. And we're just talking about why Donald Trump is at, quote, the peak of his power, according to CNN. Why is he so popular? Why is there this feeling of national unity? You've got freaking rappers performing at Trump's stuff. How in the world did this happen? I'm explaining how Democrats turn themselves in to being unpopular as cottage cheese. 33% party approval, a number that has never been seen before. Well, Joe Biden got elected. We already walked through that. He got into power. And as I just explained, as president, a critical part of your job, because you can't do everything, nobody can do all that stuff, is being the dad who says no. Say no to the most radical parts of your party. No. Jesse, I'm going to do, or Joe, I'm going to do this. No. What about this? No. Here's an executive order on this. No. But before we dig into the border, I want you to listen to this. I'll play it again in a while because I have a different take on it in a different way. But I want you to listen to what Mike Johnson said. Mike Johnson sat down with a Barry Weiss. I don't know how to say that. A Barry Weiss on her podcast. And he talked to her about Joe Biden and what Joe Biden was like when he was signing executive orders. And he tells her he didn't know what they were.
Real quickly, Mr. President, can I ask you a question? I cannot answer this from my constituents in Louisiana. Sir, why did you pause LNG exports to Europe? Like, I don't understand, you know, liquefied natural gas is in great demand by our allies. Why would you do that? Because you understand, we just talked about Ukraine. You understand you're fueling Vladimir Putin's war machine because they got to get their gas from him, you know. And he looks at me stunned with this, and he said, I didn't do that. And I said, Mr. President, yes, you did. It was an executive order, like, you know, 3 weeks ago. And he goes, no, I didn't do that. And he's arguing with me. I said, Mr. President, respectfully, could I go out here and ask your secretary to print it out? We'll read it together. You definitely did that. And he goes, oh, you talk about natural gas. Yes, sir. He said, no, you misunderstand. He said, what I did is I signed this thing to, we're gonna conduct a study on the effects of LNG. I said, no, you're not, sir. You paused it. I know. I have the terminal, the export terminals in my state. I talked to those people this morning. This is doing massive damage to our economy, national security. It occurred to me, Barry, he was not lying to me. He genuinely did not know what he had signed.
Joe Biden got elected president, and he wasn't strong enough, able enough to tell the demonic communists in his administration no. In fact, they flat out lied to him for 4 years about the things they were going to have him say, the things they were going to have him sign, and what you witnessed for the last 4 years, why Donald Trump is in part so popular and why Democrats are so unpopular, is you witnessed 4 years of Democrats without brakes. There are no brakes left on the car because the Democrat president is supposed to, in part, be those brakes. When you really take in things like this, Trump already ended CBP1. Now, what is CBP1? It was an app for your phone. What was the purpose of the app? The app was to allow illegals to enter America. They could schedule their illegal entry on an app on their phones. The Biden administration created an app so barbarians could violate the sovereignty of our country, and they did it to the tune of a million. The Biden administration brought a million people in here, facilitated the illegal invasion of this country via phone app. How could anybody be that freaking evil? Even Democrat, even Obama never did anything like that. Clinton would have never dreamed of doing anything like that. How could they do something that overtly evil, that in your face evil? There was no president. There was nobody to say no. When you're a president, who staffs your administration? Well, the chief of staff's going to make these decisions, but when you have Susan Rice around you, Victoria Nuland, when you have Lisa Monaco, when you have the most evil, America-hating, committed communists around you, and you lack the wherewithal to ever tell them no, they are going to go grab the most radical Maoists they can find off of every college campus and newsroom they can find. People who wake up every single day, who eat, sleep, and breathe the destruction of this country, and they're going to hand those animals real power. They're no longer going to be teaching sociology in college. They're writing executive orders, and the cadaver president is signing it. 4 years, you just got to witness what unchecked Democrats will do when there's no dad to say no. What you just witnessed was a 21-year-old kid and all of his buddies being given dad's credit card and handed a trip to Tijuana, Mexico with no limits. That's what you just witnessed. Debauchery, insanity, evil like you can't even imagine. And now we have Donald Trump getting up saying things like this, and people actually applaud as if even saying something like this, even having to say something like this, is anything but insane.
This week, I will also end the government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life. We will forge a society that is colorblind and merit-based. As of today, it will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
How does that become an applause line? At no other point in human history would a politician get up and say, there are only two genders, male and female. And the crowd would go, yeah, woo, that's right. Because that's kind of baked into the cake. That would be like getting up and saying, water is wet. Yeah, woo, water is wet. It's reality. So what happened? Again, 4 years of the animals operating under a cadaver president with no brakes, no limits whatsoever. And don't think for a second I'm excusing Joe Biden. We'll get to the pardons and other things next hour, other stuff. I'm not making an excuse for him. I'm telling you what we witnessed 4 years of. That was 4 years of communist animals without any controls on them. It was ugly, it was evil, and in large part, it destroyed the popularity of the Democrat Party, by the grace of God. All right, we're going to go do Medal of Honor Monday, and then we have more of this stuff next.